Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. It's a pretty day. Man, the wind, it's not breezy. It is a very, it's a gusty
it is.
Kind of Monday, but hopefully everybody doing well. After a very interesting weekend, congratulations to Auburn men's basketball winning the SEC tournament and doing so in big time style up in Nashville in front of, I guess, the biggest Auburn crowd of the season. More Auburn people, I believe, at that ball game at Bridgestone, because it is a much larger arena than Neville Arena. And the projections were well over 80%, maybe 90% of the crowd was Auburn. You could tell that during the game when things went well for Auburn, the place just erupted. And,
fouls started being called on Auburn. It erupted in a different
way. Well, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, no, I mean, how about that, seeing over 10,000 Auburn fans there. Awesome. Celebrating with the Tigers as they cut down the nets for the SEC title. And then they come back to Auburn, and a big surprise. I don't think anybody expected when UConn was the top seed and the first team that was announced, I think most Auburn people figured, okay, we'll just see who else is in this bracket because Auburn's not going to be in there unless they're the three.
Right.
And no, Auburn, the four in the East, headed to Spokane along with two other teams from the state of Alabama, UAB, who Auburn could play in the second round, and Alabama, who is in the West, playing there in Spokane. I thought they did the pods to cut down on travel some. There are three teams west. There are three teams west of the Mississippi playing in Spokane out of the eight. It is, there are more than a few questions about this.
Spokane was clearly the leftover region. There's usually a Pacific Northwest power, Gonzaga or Oregon, someone who is, Washington. Someone has enough of a season where they're going to be a two seed or a three seed, and you can count on them having a big home court advantage. In this case, that wasn't the case. Gonzaga is a five seed. I think it would have been unfair. I don't believe Gonzaga is playing in
Spokane in
the first round. Gonzaga,
The Western teams are San Diego
Saint
State,
Mary's,
Grand
right?
Canyon, and St. Mary's.
Yeah, St. Mary's in a spot that Gonzaga usually has as one of the top 20 teams in the draw or so, and they're going to be instead at St. Mary's in that one. So, yeah, it's an odd-looking region to beat. I don't know. Do you want to get into the SEC tournament, or do you want to do bracket stuff?
Because we can do whatever. I mean, the SEC tournament. Auburn dominated the SEC tournament. They finally win a close game in the Saturday game against Mississippi State, coming from behind to defeat Mississippi State.
That was a physical.
Yes, it was.
That was a fist fight.
That was a brawl.
Yeah, fist fight in the mud. Yeah, that was out. You know what? Couple of bars probably had a something that resembled the Auburn Mississippi State on St. Patrick's Day this weekend, right? Probably a couple of disputes went into the parking lot, and it looked like that Auburn Mississippi State game. You're right, Auburn wins a close game, first time this season where you've had really key possessions at the very end of the game on both sides for an Auburn victory, and I thought that was a promising thing against a state team that, veering into the brackets a little bit. Like it's always tough to predict if you think an 8 seed or a 9 seed has a chance to be a second weekend team. I don't think anyone's thrilled to play A&M right now. I don't think anybody's thrilled to play Mississippi State right now. I would lump FAU who could be UConn's opponent. Like, there, it seems to be kind of a lively 8-9 line, and one of those teams is the Mississippi State team that Auburn eliminated from the SEC tournament on Saturday.
Yeah, and then Auburn winning in the Battle of Orange and Blue on Sunday, yesterday, a game that was, Auburn never trailed, but Florida made a run there early in the second half. They cut it to one, and then Trey Donaldson with two huge plays back-to-back. He hits the three, then he gets a steal and sets up the layup. I mean, Auburn pulls away from Florida. A game that was marred by the just awful injury to Micah Handlogden, who suffered that broken leg. And, neither team looked like they were interested. I mean, they could get focused on the game again for a little while.
I mean, it was a credit to both coaching staffs and both teams to have the energy to make it feel like a tournament basketball game again, because what happened to Micah Handlogden, and my understanding is that it was far worse in person if you were near the court and the folks I know that were on, because the press box, press area is pretty close to the court at Bridgestone for the SEC tournament on television.
It was bad enough on TV.
It was bad enough on TV, but it was a wide shot. I think ESPN knew they had any other angles, they weren't going to show them. But all the best to Micah Handlogden, who had surgery last night. He updated folks on social media, said he's feeling better. But that took a lot of the juice out of the arena. Auburn and Florida were able to make it feel like an exciting basketball game again, a piece of entertainment again. But yeah, tough to overcome something like that. And I think it may be. It's a big loss for a Florida team that was becoming a bit of a trendy NCAA tournament team in their own right. There were folks saying, watch out for Florida,
and rightfully so.
They could be better than their seeding. Maybe the front court is stretched a little bit too thin without Handlogged, and I would worry about Florida in that first game without him. You know, they're going to have to play the winner of the play-in game in a 7-10.
I don't know that they've got the. They've got the most favorable draw either. I mean,
no, that's a good. I believe that's the Colorado State, or no, that's the other one. That's Colorado and Virginia. Colorado State play Texas. It's Colorado State and Boise State are the two teams that could. Or Colorado and Boise State are the two teams, and I think either of those teams, if they were to win, could be a pretty dangerous team for Florida there in the first round.
Yeah, so there's so much for us to talk about. Hey, right here at the outset of the show, how about a big happy birthday to Bruce Pearl?
Yeah.
Today is Bruce's birthday. Nice. 64 today. Maybe it's a good thing that yesterday wasn't his birthday. I mean, he got a great present and then sort of a disappointing surprise. But you know what? Auburn's situation, I think is something Bruce Pearl will take full advantage of. You talk about being able to play with a chip on your shoulder. Auburn's got it. The lack of respect. Like, what do you need to do to prove that you are better than the 15th overall seed, who is then seeded as the 16th overall seed in the bracket with the number one overall seed, than to go out and just prove it game by game. And I love the way he talks about approaching it. It's like, you got to win. It's a four-team tournament. You got a four-team tournament coming up here this weekend in Spokane, Friday and Sunday. And then hopefully you win there, and then you head to Boston.
You get to the second weekend, you get a chance to prepare for that first game, which would be against most likely UConn, although UConn's got a tough draw themselves.
They do, but did you notice, and I heard a little talk about this earlier today as well, we just sort of jump right into it. That's Dan. I'm Bill. Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports is in here as well. No. Matt.
It's going to be tough not to talk brackets until Auburn is done playing this
week. I mean, we have other things that we will get to today, and we'd love for you to join in. And you can by dialing press the numbers or whatever. Give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390. But what I was about to say before we move on is, all right, Auburn playing Friday, Sunday in Spokane. UConn is playing Thursday, Saturday in Brooklyn.
Yes.
So UConn will have an almost, I mean, they'll have a day and a half advantage if they win against whoever is coming out of Spokane.
And, they'll be playing.
And that team from Spokane, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a huge advantage. Of course, I mean, you're supposed to get advantages when you're the number one overall seed. But I think it's that they should have at least had the teams playing on the same days so that you don't miss a day's preparation.
If Auburn had gone 31-3 this year, as UConn did, and only lost three road games, as UConn did, Auburn would likely be a one seed playing in the first round in Memphis.
So you say?
I think so. At 31-3, I think Auburn would be they'd be a one seed.
But I mean, look. Let's face it.
That part to
nobody was right. All the even the people that the best bracket projectors were completely off.
Right. About the bubble. For the most part,
about the bubble. I mean, Auburn was supposed to be a high four or a three, according to everybody.
I didn't see a ton of people. I mean, I guess
Joe Lenardi said three.
Yeah, when Lenardi moved us to a three, I was surprised because he seemed to be ahead of a lot of other people in moving on. What I worry about now is how much impact did the SEC tournament have?
None.
I was going to ask, was Auburn a five going into the South Carolina game?
No, I don't think so. I think Auburn was a four, and they stayed a four.
And maybe moved from the worst four to the best four.
I think we have seen conference tournaments mean very little except for the shuffling that has to be done when a team that wasn't going to be in the field wins their tournament.
And people are using this bracket and the high-profile snubs from last night of, I don't know, St. John's or Pitt or, the Seton Hall, the places, the folks that were the most surprising bubble teams not to get in as a reason to argue for expansion. I know Commissioner Sankey is on the case of too many quality major conference teams are being left out of the field right now. I'm not sure I agree with that. Like, I know folks want to move it to. I'm just worried that if they go to a 76-team field, are we going to see play-in games for all of the 16s and all of the 15s and all of the 14s so we can get as many one-bid leagues out as possible with a tournament that sort of reflects, well, let's protect the power conference teams and let's protect the at-larges
probably
as much as possible, which it feels like would be a step down in quality, from what we have now. I don't love the chances of any of the 14s or 15s or 16s in this draw, but I just I worry that there are changes coming to future tournaments that feel like it would harm the quality of what, because this thing this year looks like it could be a lot of fun. I mean, this tournament. Even with matchups like Auburn UConn potentially in the Sweet 16 that feel like Final Four national championship caliber games be getting in that second weekend if seeding holds and if there aren't any major Cinderellas who rock the boat.
All right, we're just underway. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here with us. Bill and Dan. Dan, you will find out your schedule tonight.
Yeah,
right?
we know the Trojans are in the 48-team WNIT this year and looking to make some noise in the bracket. Third time the Trojans have made the WNIT since I started doing this. I believe third time in program history as well. But they will find out tonight where they're going. My guess would be no one has told me anything. Looking at the other teams in the field, the WNIT really emphasizes as long as they can avoid rematches, they emphasize travel in that first round. Looking at the other Southeastern teams that made it, UAB stands out as a potential opponent for Troy. Stetson is in the WNIT out of is it DeLand,
yes,
Florida, which is I'm unfamiliar with. Is it like suburban?
I'm not sure that. I've just known it's in DeLand.
I think it's on the way to Orlando if you're coming from here. Like, it's between Orlando and Gainesville, maybe. I think DeLand is in that ballpark. But so we'll see. My guess would be that later this week Troy is going to take on UAB. Whether that game is in Troy or Birmingham, we'll see. But yeah, we'll find out tonight if the Trojans, where they're going, and maybe they can make a run.
All right, we will get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 here on the Monday Drive.
Toyota of Sylacauga.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday. Bill, Dan, Brian, Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls, and we'll get to The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Bill is up first. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I don't know about anybody else, but I wasn't surprised by all this. Not a bit. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But I do believe the NCAA has an axe to grind with Bruce Pearl. I get that part. You know, it's like that year we made the Final Four run. Who do we have to get there to beat? Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky?
Yep.
Why we just didn't play the greatest Celtics teams of all time on while we were at it? I mean, nothing surprised me. What's the old saying? If you want to be the man, you have to beat the man. So you got to play the cards you dealt. I guess we'll go out there and just try to handle the teams that are out there, and if UConn and Illinois are among them, I guess that's the way it goes.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if Auburn plays, and they've been playing really good basketball here down the stretch on this winning streak, they continue to play like that, then they've got a great shot of heading to Boston and seeing how things work out.
And so, like I said, I wasn't surprised at all. Other teams got, I saw, well, okay.
I was surprised that after Auburn won the SEC, they still found themselves in a situation where they could play UConn or Houston in the Sweet 16, because I thought that would maybe move you as a four seed off of the line where you, especially with uncertainty for the fourth one seed and without the SEC in that conversation. If you'd asked me after the SEC tournament what Auburn's draw was going to look like, I would have guessed Auburn is a four in the same region as either North Carolina or Purdue. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought that Auburn was going to be dealing with UConn or Houston in the Sweet 16. Instead, that's where we are. And that's unfortunate to me, because I would be taking Auburn to win a couple of these other regions. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with an Auburn-UConn matchup in the Sweet 16, because I think those are two of the four or five best teams in the entire draw right now. So that's here we are.
Yeah, it's like you said, you have to play the cards you've been dealt, and it's just, I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised. I wish I could share your optimism about what we got, but I just felt like we'd get got what we got. That's what I expected to get. But the kids are playing well.
They're playing their best basketball right now, no question about it.
And let's just, like I said, play the cards we've been dealt and go out and I guess there have to be a lot of good teams to get there. But that year we made that run, the Final Four, it'll be a lot of good teams that year too. So I guess that's just the way it goes.
And this year, everybody's got to beat quality teams to make a run beyond. I mean, there's some teams would maybe have a favorable draw to the Sweet 16, but once we get to 16, once we get to 8. It seems like it's going to take a lot of Cinderellas for anyone to have a really favorable draw beyond a round or two.
Yeah, that's true. So, like I said, we'll just do the best we can, and I just thought we'd get a better draw on that. And I was surprised some of the other – apparently, as you said, Bill, I think apparently winning the SEC tournament didn't have any weight at all.
Sure doesn't look like it. Dan's exactly right. If it did, then that means Auburn was a mid to lower five.
Yeah,
probably.
Maybe, Auburn
heading
had a,
in.
Yeah, which makes me worry that maybe Auburn had a lot on the line in the South Carolina game or in the Mississippi State game, to stay where they were on the bracket. But no, it doesn't appear the conference tournaments moved the needle too much Maybe it was a tiebreaker for the one seeds and the two seeds, because if Tennessee or Arizona had won their conference tournament, maybe it would have been enough to get them over UNC for the final one seed. But down the line, it doesn't seem like the conference tournaments impacted the draw that much.
One last question, guys: why play them?
Conference tournaments, because they're huge money makers.
Well, what a surprise!
Yeah,
I'm not crazy about them as a way to decide who goes to the NCAA tournament either, Because to me, what are we playing 2 months of basketball for if that doesn't decide your automatic qualifier? Now, you make conference tournaments completely unnecessary and irrelevant if they don't decide the automatic qualifier for NCAA tournaments. But, you know, personally, I don't really like them as a way to decide which team from your league should be the one representing you in the NCAAs.
No, I agree with you. I just didn't see those things. Conference tournaments go away. I mean, if it didn't make any difference this year, I mean, it opens the door for like a Georgia team back in that year that the Georgia Dome got damaged by the tornado, and Georgia got in there and ended up beating Kentucky. And of course, they fizzled out in the tournament. But that's once in a blue moon that happens. I just see the, but they won't go away.
They do keep, for teams that aren't playing well in the regular season, they do keep sort of a glimmer of hope open all season long that if you figure things out, you haven't played your way completely out of it because there's a way in the postseason.
UAB wouldn't be making the trip to
Spokane. There is some of that, but I do wonder, you know, people make fun of the Gonzaga Conference for having a conference tournament that's sort of structured in a way that protects the top seeds, but there's money at stake for these conferences. As far as you know, if you advance in the NCAA tournament, that's more money for the school that's advancing and the conference and everybody else too. So the conferences have a vested interest in sending their best team to the NCAA tournament. So I would be fine with. What do you think of this, Bill? For one bid leagues, smaller leagues, what about just taking the top four or the top six to the conference tournament instead of bringing everybody if the automatic qualifier is on the line? What about like being very exclusive with, okay, we're a one-bid league, we're just taking one through four to the conference tournament this year, or one through six, because we need, you know, we can't run the risk of a team getting hot then flaming out the NCAA tournament if we have a team that can actually make a run here in the draw. I don't know.
It sounds good, but
those conferences wouldn't make as much money in those tournaments, which they probably use. They probably need it more than, say, an SEC school does.
Yeah, it sounds good, but no way that'll fly. Appreciate the call, Bill. Let's continue. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Dan, when you thought Auburn might be a three seed, was that before you knew that Greg Byrne and Sam Newton's son was on the?
Now, I never thought Auburn was going to be a three. I was surprised when Lenardi moved Auburn to a three after the SEC tournament. I thought it was going to be. I thought that Auburn's ceiling seemed to be based on, especially you hear body of work so much, and you know the committee wasn't going to forget some of the earlier losses in conference or the road loss at App State or stuff like that. So maybe Auburn's ceiling was the best four seed, but I did not think SEC champion four seed Auburn would be facing either UConn or Houston in the Sweet 16. That was the development that surprised me, Brett.
Well, body of work apparently doesn't include some of the metrics that they say they're going to go by either. You pointed out a couple of connections there to Tuscaloosa. The other one may not have connections to Tuscaloosa, but the chairman of the committee, Dr. Charles McClelland, lives in Birmingham now. So, I mean, he's probably heard a little bit of, you know, Auburn.
Well, I didn't really think Auburn would be a three seed, and then when I found out around 4 o'clock who was on the committee, I pretty much, you know, went ahead and figured out Auburn would be a four. But while UConn should be favored and will be favored, that they do have a few things going against them. They don't play many players. They play pretty much seven. And what's really odd is they only play three guards.
And one of the UConn guards, I believe, dealing with a facial injury, right, that he suffered towards the end of the season, still getting used to the I never had to play with the Rip Hamilton, you know, the mask, but I imagine that's got to be a tough adjustment, the nose protecting mask suddenly on one of their guards. And I would point out, Brett, I would add to UConn's problems that FAU is as dangerous as just about anybody on the 8-9 line. If FAU can get to the FAU seems like a team that's been biding their time all year. When you return five guys from a team that made a Final Four run and lost on a buzzer beater in last year's Final Four. I feel like they knew they weren't going to be the schedule doesn't let FAU be a 4 seed or a 5 seed, right? They don't play enough games against top tier competition. All they needed to do was get in, and they're in, and that's not a team I would want to see in the second round as a 1 seed trying to get to the Sweet 16.
Oh, for sure. And, hey, last thing. The one stat I always look at on a Bruce Pearl team is turnovers. If Auburn can continue to not turn the ball over, Auburn can play with anybody, anywhere.
And this has been Bruce's best team that he's had at Auburn, for sure, as far as limiting turnovers.
All right. War Eagle, guys.
Appreciate the call, Brett. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love to hear from you. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Gorgeous looking day.
Oh,
it is
amazing.
Really, really windy. The pollen is flying.
And a freeze warning?
Yeah, it's going to be like 30 tonight.
Not recruiting. We're not talking about, there's about to be a flip something. No,
and that could be appropriate, too. It was a big recruiting weekend, Brian.
It was very big. I thought Auburn did a great job. I love the setup over there they had. They put a really nice tent out in front, had a bunch of food trucks pull up there, had the music going.
I just thought
it was really a great atmosphere. I talked to Alvin Henderson, the running back from Elba.
Right.
I think he's number 3 or number 4 running back in the country. He's got a top 5 now. I think Auburn and Florida State are his top 2, although he didn't specifically say that. And he's planning a decision here in the next, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime.
Yeah, so there could be some freeze warnings.
Yes.
And that was a nice segue. Thank you, Dan. All right, 334-321-1390. We have a full bank of calls on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar and Yellowhammer.
We got Hall of Famers hanging on.
Yellowhammer gets us going. What's up, Yellowhammer?
Howdy, howdy. Well, I'd love to hear you guys talk about this. It's hypothetical, but it could happen. Suppose the Final Four does not have a single SEC team in it. Who do you see there?
It wouldn't be a shock if there isn't an SEC team in it. I mean, the SEC doesn't have a 1 seed.
Your question is, what SEC team do I think is the likeliest Final Four team?
Oh, no, I think he said
there are 5 or 6, just some idea off your head, top of your head, who might be the Final Four if there's no SEC team.
If there's no SEC team.
Yes.
Okay.
Excluding SEC teams, who could be there? UConn, obviously.
I think UConn looks like the favorite from their region, although Auburn is a very real opponent if both teams get to the Sweet 16. I mean, there's other dangerous teams up and down that region, BYU, Iowa State, et cetera. In the West, I would think that Arizona and UNC look like they are both in good position to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
That is a national championship caliber coin flip in the Elite Eight in Los Angeles. Caleb Love, of course, played for both teams, Pac-12 Player of the Year for Arizona. Alabama's dangerous, but I don't know if they would be expected to beat either of those teams with the way they play defense, North Carolina or Arizona. North Carolina, Mississippi State could be a good game in the round of 32 if they get that far. I've seen people take A&M to beat Houston in the round of 32. I'm not buying it.
I'm not either.
I think Houston is a cut above everyone else in that region, although Kentucky is good, Marquette is good. I love James Madison as a double-digit seed. I think they could beat Wisconsin and Duke.
I still think Florida could.
I agree with you. But I would say Houston, maybe the Houston Duke winner if those two teams play in the Sweet 16. Marquette's good, but I would think Houston is a Final Four team from the South. In the Midwest, I like Tennessee. I know I'm not supposed to pick an SEC team in this one, so I would think that a Purdue-Kansas winner in the Sweet 16 if those two teams play.
That's a bracket that is runnable, it looks like. I think you're playing well.
I like McNeese as a double-digit seed to make some noise potentially. I think South Carolina is currently the underdog against Oregon, and I think it makes sense. Oregon is dangerous as an 11
seed. South Carolina is always the underdog.
But they are always the underdog. But I've seen people it's rare for a 6 seed to be getting points
right
on the line. That's where South Carolina finds themselves as a 6 against against Oregon. Texas has more talent than your average 7 seed. I don't know if they're going to be able to figure it out. But Tennessee, Texas could be a really good round of 32. But I would say
I think that's a really interesting region. I wouldn't be shocked at 3 or 4 different teams, at any of 3 or 4 different teams being able to make a
big. And I don't know what you do with Purdue. I mean, you lose a round of 64 game as a 1 seed.
Yeah.
You lose to a 16. You know, people will be doubting you. I think people will be doubting them if they play. People will be doubting them against the Utah State TCU winner if they get to the round of 32, and whether it's Gonzaga or Kansas or McNeese, whoever's coming out of that one, Samford, mentioned the same, Bucky Bowl as well. Although I hate Kansas as a draw for Samford. Like Kansas goes through really solid bigs. Felt like Samford was going to hope for a guard-oriented team to play Bucky Bowl with them, but I think it's going to be tough for Samford to get stops against a big, strong Kansas front court. So we'll see.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer, 334-321-1390. Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Happy birthday to Bruce Pearl, and also happy birthday to my mom, also known as Zaz. So happy birthday, Zaz. I'll call you later. Let's see. First thing, Kentucky a 3 seed and we're a 4 seed. Is that just because they're Kentucky?
Well, I don't know why.
Everyone can point out the lack of quad one wins. That is the one thing that's the only argument that I've heard that works when you talk about why Auburn's not rated higher.
And I think the committee the committee did seem to take a look, especially at the top.
And Kentucky handled Auburn with relative ease at Auburn.
And that's probably a better road game, probably a better road win than Auburn has all year. You know, Kentucky going to Auburn and winning the way they did is more impressive
ask any team that has played against an Auburn crowd.
I mean, Auburn's best wins away from home happened this week in Nashville, and it's fair to wonder like how strongly the committee viewed them. And it does feel like the argument of who did you beat away from your building seemed to be one where you could tilt the advantage towards Kentucky in a head-to-head with Auburn.
Okay, I rewatched, I guess, the second half of the game on Sunday on ESPN on my computer, and I heard Tom Hart, and I'm pretty sure we played Kentucky in the Elite Eight to get the Final Four, but he said Florida.
I missed Tom Hart saying that. Yeah, Auburn did beat Kentucky in that game after the Chuma injury in 19.
Okay. That's what I thought because I remember we went through like 3 blue bloods to get to the Final Four.
Kentucky, worth pointing out, Kentucky also won in Knoxville, also beat Tennessee at Tennessee.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about road wins that move the needle, Kentucky was able to win in Neville Arena and in Knoxville this year.
Well, and I think something else they said on the broadcast was, I guess back in 2013, the SEC had 3 bids for the NCAAs, and we had, 8 this year?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty good in 9 years. We've come a long way basketball-wise.
Kentucky also beat Florida at Florida early in conference play. That was the opener in league play for both teams, and they beat UNC on a neutral court back in December. I understand Auburn had a better conference record than Kentucky. I was not surprised to see Kentucky ranked at least a little bit higher than Auburn in the eyes of the committee. I guess the surprise, if you're going to move a 3 down to make room for Auburn, Illinois would be the easiest one to do it with. But that's also a team that won their conference tournament and started picking up steam towards the end of the season.
Yeah, well, all those teams can show each other's banners out in that region.
And last thing, because I know you got more callers after the big weekend, but I was coming out to check the laundry, and I had the national ESPN broadcast on, and they actually talked to Chaney Johnson, so I got to hear that.
Cool.
So that was kind of cool. for him to be on national ESPN show.
Good
last
for Chaney.
Night. Yeah. That's all I got, guys. War Eagle.
All right, Mitch.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Terry is next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
All right.
Hey, I know that Connecticut's in front of Auburn, and we know they're 31-3, and they've been a powerhouse. But do you think Connecticut is thrilled about playing seeing Auburn?
No. Connecticut's got to be looking at this and going, wait a minute. They put us in the wrong regional.
Yeah, they put them in there with a bunch of conference champions. Illinois. Who else, Bill?
Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State just won their league.
Right.
No, I mean, you look at it.
Illinois won their conference tournament. Auburn won their conference tournament. So they're all in that region.
Three conference tournament winners in there. Auburn, Illinois, and Iowa State.
Right, and an FAU team that went to the Final Four last year that could be waiting for UConn in the round of 32.
Same with San Diego State.
San Diego State also from last year's Final Four, last year's national runner-up.
Three of the Final Four teams, including the champion, in that one region.
No, it's
ridiculous.
It is a brutal region. And the team that comes out of it, especially if it's Auburn or UConn, but I would say even if it's Iowa State, I think the team that comes out of it will be battle tested and maybe the favorite coming out of that draw.
Well, based on what Brett was saying, could Auburn have an advantage depth wise because they play about 10 guys, don't they?
That's the hope against a team like that.
You know, and here's something. Shout out Chris Moore.
Yeah,
I mean, getting an opportunity to play some more after really, you know, sort of being phased out a little bit after Leor Berman's injury. Chris was perfect. He didn't miss a shot in the SEC tournament, and I thought really added a lot energy-wise and had some big rebounds. He had some huge shots that he made, including a couple of threes.
He did. Yeah,
very timely shots he made.
It was great to see. You could watch him earlier in the season. He was playing great defense and just looked like he didn't have confidence in his offensive skill.
I'm just saying they're pumping up Connecticut like a lot of people are, and I'm guilty too, but I just don't think they're glad to see Auburn waiting on them there in the Sweet 60 if they get that far. Yale ain't going to be easy.
No, Yale has got it's funny. You think of Yale, you think of Ivy League teams, you think of Princeton, you think of, well, they're probably, not very big, they're not very quick. Yale is big.
Yeah, they are.
Yale is big, and that's the first thing Bruce Pearl mentioned. He talked about their 7-footer, who's pretty darn athletic and averages right at a double-double. So, Auburn's quickness, Auburn needs to take advantage of quickness. We'll see if Janai can get their big guy into some foul trouble.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate it, Terry.
I don't know how much Auburn's depth will help them. I think it helps them best in the second game. And I think it definitely helped them in the SEC tournament. But we'll just see how Auburn takes advantage of it, right? Most teams are going to play 7-8 guys.
Right.
Right? And plenty of teams playing 7-8 guys have won a lot of games in the tournament and won a lot of championships.
As a matter of fact, I saw a stat over the weekend that Auburn was the only team in the top 10 teams nationally with most bench minutes.
Yeah.
Who was still alive in their conference.
Yeah, Janai won conference tournament. Player of the tournament,
MVP.
Most outstanding tournament MVP, and he did it averaging 22 or 23 minutes a game throughout the tournament, which is a rarity. Usually guys are playing 30, 35 minutes a game to be a tournament MVP in that situation. It's a testament to, you know, the one thing where even against Yale, I think Auburn's depth could show up is that Bruce Pearl, it is so hard to ask anyone at any of the positions to play 30, 33 minutes at this tempo on both sides of the ball. The defensive pressure does not really. I mean, even like Baker Mazzara or Denver, you know, who you might feel like would be less taxing than one of the bigs to ask them to play high pressure 30, 33 minutes. I still feel like they can be more effective at 22 or 25. That's the hope. You know, from Bruce Pearl, without there being much of a drop off from the starter to the backup.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if somebody does get in foul trouble, Denver picked up a couple of fouls early. Was it yesterday? But I mean, anybody who gets a couple of quick fouls, there's still someone without a big drop off that's going to come in, and you're still going to be able to run the same offense and defense.
Yeah, I think for the depth to be an asset for Auburn, they have to play really intense in your face defense.
Yes, agreed.
And
officials need to let them play that.
And the other thing is, if you watched Auburn against Florida in the first half, yes, they built a lead, But the way they played defense, the way they created turnovers, that lead should have been bigger, but they were unable to capitalize on the fast break and take advantage of those turnovers the way they played defense.
Until the second group came in when it was 40, when it got to 1-point game, and I said, like,
Trey, right, in the second half.
Trey made those two plays. That second, I mean, it just exploded.
Yeah.
That's when Auburn goes on one of those runs,
yeah,
and it's sparked by their defense.
Yeah, and I think Florida probably got a little tired in the second half, but Auburn has got to be able to push the ball offensively and take advantage of that and not turn the ball over like they did several times on the fast break against Florida early.
Yeah, although, I mean, even when it felt like, man, Auburn, and they did, they made a few just sloppy passes where Florida was able to anticipate, and credit, I think, coaching on some of that. Auburn still ends up with, you know, like a dozen turnovers. And for a lot of teams, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
For Auburn, that's an off game.
Yeah, so I think he can be an asset, but it's not necessarily going to be. We'll see.
Yeah, a lot of it will depend. It'll depend on matchups. It'll depend on the officiating.
Yeah.
I mean, because sometimes you'll get guys that are really whistle happy. Other times you'll get some officials that'll let them play.
And the SEC tournament, it seemed like they let every team play in the first half, and they decided
whistles
to make
game
it
in the second.
The officials' game in the second, which made no sense to me.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? You set the tone for how you're going to call the game, and then you change it in the second half?
Well, in Auburn games, I wonder if officials didn't like how physical the game had gotten and decided to start calling tighter fouls to back some of that off. I mean, when Mississippi State, in the Auburn-Mississippi State game, once they started looking at technicals
and flagrants. They needed to try to get that under control.
No surprise. I mean, the question is, should they have been tighter with the whistles earlier in those games to prevent them from getting physical? But I thought, I mean, yes, of course, in a game like Florida didn't play out the same way the Mississippi State game did. But against State, I mean, that's a game where officials are always going to start calling tighter whistles because players were maybe taking advantage of how lax the officiating was and the game was getting excessively physical. You had, you know, off-ball flagrants and things like that. But yeah, I mean, Auburn – That certainly the style of officiating can dictate how physical Auburn's defense can get, and that is something that can make a team that seems invincible at times in the regular season suddenly look a lot more tentative and careful.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Reminder, coming up at 5:30, we'll have our baseball Tiger takes. Rough weekend for the Tigers up in Nashville. It was a great weekend for basketball in Nashville. Not so good baseball-wise. Cooper McMurray, though, will join us at 5:30. So keep that in mind as we continue here with the Monday Drive.
The City of Auburn's household.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final couple of minutes of hour number one here on this Monday drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Yeah, Brian, you were saying it's a crazy week. Friday especially is going to be just insane.
Yeah, I mean, we've got football practice availability three times this week. When we get to Friday, we've got Pro Day. In the morning, we've got Auburn. And
you were just telling us about Pro Day and how fired up you are to get out there.
Oh yeah, it's
see everybody.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, you've got that in the morning. Auburn Yale at 3:15,
yep. And then you got a baseball
and
game.
Auburn Arkansas, the number one team in the country, coming in.
Oof.
After Auburn drops all three up in Nashville.
I will remind folks, excuse me, that Auburn lost. Auburn got swept at Arkansas to begin last season, they came back and won 17 SEC games, which was really, really good. But that team got to come home and play Georgia, which was not a good team last year. This team has to come home and play Arkansas, which is a really, really good team. They have got to figure out their pitching, their starting pitching. What we thought was going to be a strength has turned into a big mess so far for them. Not saying they can't figure it out, but right now it's kind of a mess.
Last year's team was swept in the season opener, the season opening series. In SEC play against Arkansas.
Yep.
This year's team swept in Nashville. Those first couple of series.
Starting pitching and defense now, Brian. I mean, Auburn's at the bottom of the SEC in defense.
Yeah.
They they can't, that can't continue if you expect to contend.
They are not doing the little things well enough,
no,
right?
They're
getting two strikes on hitters and can't finish them. Mm-hmm. They're having bad at bats with runners in scoring position and with two outs. They're committing errors. They're giving up extra base runners. They're doing wild pitches, pass balls, walks. Everything that costs you games, they're doing right now. So it's all got to get cleaned up.
They play tomorrow night at Riverwalk against Troy. All right. We've got to get to our top of the hour break. Halfway done. If you didn't get through, we'd like to hear from you.
I think it's South Alabama tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, did I say Troy? I'm sorry.
They played Troy
in Montgomery.
They played Troy at Riverwalk before.
South.
No, but if you're in Montgomery, check that, and weather permits, check that game out.
Well, the weather should be nice tomorrow. Going to be a little chilly, but yeah. All right, we're back with hour number two here on the Monday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. A nice looking day. It's breezy, but hey, gorgeous. Going to be chilly tonight. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls as we get underway with hour number two, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We have a full bank of calls here on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Let's get to the phones, and Tex is up first. Hey, Tex.
I decided to text the show. So,
hey, Tex.
Anyway, hey, guys. Dan, did I just hear you say a while ago that it felt like the referees tightened the game up or something along that line in the second half?
No, we were talking about, I believe, not to pass the buck here, I believe Brian was upset about inconsistency over the course of the game.
No, it's a whole tournament. It's basically they let teams play in the first half, and then they just started blowing their whistle like, you know.
Do you disagree, Tex?
And then I said in response, and then in the Mississippi State game especially, it felt like they waited until they'd already had to hand out flagrants and technicals and things like that.
Five or six
Before they tightened the whistles up.
Well, no, Brian's 100% right. Because in our game yesterday, in 3.5 minutes to start the second half, one team had six fouls and the other had zero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. I think both teams had seven or eight in the first half, and all of a sudden one has six in 3.5 mm-hmm. minutes. And it wasn't the team that plays grab and hold. It was the other team that plays more of a bump. They don't hold a whole lot. They're very physical. I think Auburn's very physical on defense. And I think part of the problem today, I watched some of that officiating. There was a call, and I forget who it was on. It may have been Broome or Carwell, that we got called for a foul.
And he missed completely.
He completely missed, and the guy who blew the whistle is looking directly at that angle.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
There's always been stories about, do officials get too old? I also think they get too full of themselves. They're not supposed to be part of the game. They're supposed to be there to control the game. And if you're going to control it the whole time. Don't control it by trying to make a point in about 3.5 minutes starting the second half.
Yeah, I'm no monk or anything, you know, when it comes to these issues. But this is also something. Hold on, let me.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if you were speaking of the detective. Well,
not monk. No. I mean, of the religious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of the religious type. But this is something when you legalize sports gambling, increasingly across the country, any mistake made by an official also like it magnifies these sorts of things to have people in you know, increasingly wonder if gambling has something to do with questionable outcomes and things like that. There was an NBA controversy just last week where a player made a money sign to a referee in response to a call and seemed to indicate that gambling was influencing the calls there. I would say that's another risk you take with what you were talking about.
Well, if that's the case, the group that referees in the Southeastern Conference have been bad all year.
I don't disagree with that.
They're slow. Do what?
I said I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, they've been bad all year. So to expect them to be better, but to flip a switch like that, that is inserting yourself into a game in a situation that you didn't need to insert yourself at that time. You were late at that point. The scuffle happened way early. And by the way, if the rule allows an offensive player to use his front shoulder and front arm to clear out, it's going to be like that until that rule changes.
Mm-hmm.
The clear outs that happen by the offensive players in today's game are much like a linebacker or a running back hitting somebody in the line of scrimmage.
Oh, you're not kidding.
It is very forceful.
Yeah, they've worked to change the charges and change defensive player behavior with trying to draw charges. To me, the offensive foul that needed to get out of the game was the one you're just describing, more than the block and charge.
Claire, I mean, you see everybody. I mean, it's common now. I mean, you're leading with the shoulder and forearm. You know, it's like.
No, I tell you, that point guard or that guard from Alabama is extremely good.
Mark Sears is, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he is solid as a rock.
Yep.
And he can move people with just a little, you know, it's kind of like the old martial arts type thing, the real quick, fast, short blow.
Yep.
Causes people to back up.
And he'll also sling his head back as he's doing that. So, which will get the foul called almost every time. Yep. Yeah.
And by the way, I've talked more basketball this time. The wrong Morris called you to talk basketball. She predicted that they would tighten the game up coming out in the second half. So she knows a lot of basketball. Anyway, baseball, to me, the pitching is worrisome because I thought that in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But more than that, defense and bad at-bats.
Yeah.
That might start to be, to me, more worrisome because that is something
I worry about
that
the defense.
Is physical and easy to control, mm-hmm. and we're extremely talented, 1 through 9. I don't know why we should be making errors in the field, especially in critical situations, or swinging at bad pitches, or having bad at-bats with runners in scoring position. That's surprising to me. But I'll also tell you, every visiting team or every home team won the series in the SEC this weekend.
Not a surprise.
Yeah.
No road trip came back with a win of the series. So, mm-hmm. Not a surprise. The people at LSU were all up in a roar because they lost 2 out of 3 in Duty Noble, and almost blew a 7-run lead to lose the other one. So, anyway. Hey, I don't like it. I wish I could. I'm not flying to Spokane to even go to Spokane. I'm not going to watch a basketball game when I can sit in front of my TV and watch them play.
Wall to wall.
Spokane's just too far away. It took some fans out. It took a lot of great fans out of the ball game, which is really a shame.
It really
not
did.
Not just ours.
I mean, yeah, and that's Alabama. Something else, and I hope this isn't the case, but that's something else that I've heard discussed is that folks wondering if the NCAA – or the committee wanting to make Auburn prove that they can win without a big home crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I tell you, I'd like to go into that committee room and prove that most of them are not very bright. So, all right, guys.
All right, Tex.
Y'all
appreciate
take
it.
Care.
There's really only about two locations, though, on the board where you would have felt like Auburn would have had. I mean, the Southeast, usually there is more representation in that first round of cities in the Southeast. This is an odd year where Memphis and Charlotte are the only two locations of the 8 that are really anywhere, I mean, really even drivable right, from Auburn when you look at the places. And the next closest one is Indianapolis.
If Auburn goes, they're going to Spokane, then they're going to Boston, and then they're going to Arizona, right?
And the only options on the board in the first round where Auburn's going to Spokane, the only options geographically that, like I just said, Memphis and Charlotte would have been a little bit more manageable than everywhere else, but pretty much everywhere of the eight, they're all a flight.
Auburn's been talked about being in Spokane for quite a while. I mean, I'm fine with Auburn being in Spokane. They just should be in the West as opposed to the East. Auburn and Alabama should have swapped. Alabama should be there in the pod with UAB. Auburn should be over there in the other one. But it is what it is. Back to the phones we go. 334-321-1390. And John is next. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I was just going to touch on the basketball stuff again as a season ticket holder for the past 10 or 11 years. Mm-hmm. I was very excited to see our team win a part of the SEC championship and win the SEC tournament championship.
Absolutely.
I'm also kind of disheartened that they got to go 2,500 miles away to play in front of an empty venue probably, as well as it seems like the entire state of Alabama got the short end of that deal because – that's a long trip, and I can't afford to hardly go out of town. I've got season tickets, but I can't, afford to go to away games and, stay.
No, you're right. I mean, three Alabama teams in Spokane, and the other ones in San Diego, right?
I mean, there's two ways of looking at that, though. I mean, it's disappointing for anyone locally who wanted to travel with the team to every NCAA tournament game because, like you said, it's multiple time zones away. There are a significant number of Auburn alumni and fans in and around the West Coast where, they don't get to – I know there were a lot of Auburn fans at the USC game a year ago, quite a few at the Washington game as well when Auburn men's basketball has gone on the road. There are fans on the West Coast that can – some of them travel travel from the Southeast. A lot of them live on the West Coast and get to see the team that way. I don't expect the gym to be empty.
I don't either.
When Auburn plays on Friday night.
Fans, alumni, Auburn loves Auburn, and they will turn up for that.
As far as a student representation, though, you're not going to have many Stanford and UAB or Auburn, for that matter.
I doubt Yale's going to take a huge crowd not, either. Yeah.
No. But talking about the seating, we utilize the computers for everything else that we do. Why don't we utilize the computer for the seatings and take the bias out of it?
Well, I thought the net ranking is an NCAA thing, isn't it?
It's one of the tools.
Talked about that. They've talked about it ad nauseum in the past. This time they just didn't pay any attention. Because, three of the top five net teams are in that East region, in the East regional?
Right. Well, and the net's one of the tools they use. Because they reveal the seeding 1 through 68 during the special last night.
Right.
And Auburn is 15 in their overall seeding, which is
I would like to ask them. I mean, can somebody that does math tell me how when you're seeding, if you're trying to seed 1 to 68, shouldn't one be playing 16?
Right. They do factor in things like conferences.
Oh, okay. When you get into, Alabama's in a
you're right, but Auburn and Alabama. Auburn. No, in the case of Auburn and Alabama,
doesn't make any
the thought
sense.
Of 1-15. Auburn is 15, Alabama 16, and yet Alabama is the team that drew not just it's UNC, the number 4 team on the board. I mean, there's other considerations. Like, I guess
I'd love to hear the explanation.
Well, because San Diego State's a higher on the draw than St. Mary's too, so Auburn's actually playing a tougher 5 seed than Alabama as well. I mean, that bracket is, I mean, that region
it's
is
just it doesn't make sense.
And the other thing that's annoying to me is that you saw Texas A&M and Mississippi State maybe improve their seed line with wins in the tournament, and Auburn didn't move the needle with winning 3 games in the tournament championship.
Well, unless, like Dan said, maybe they had Auburn as a 5.
And I also the only team you were in direct competition with for a 3 seed also won their conference tournament in Illinois. Like, that's the team to me. I mean, people will say what about Kentucky, but we were talking about, I mean, Kentucky, if the committee factored in what did you do away from home, Kentucky has a clear edge there with the wins they were able to pick up away from home versus what Auburn did. Illinois, I think, would have been the team that would have been the most vulnerable of the 3 seeds to drop down. They win the Big Ten tournament.
All right. Any of y'all coming to the game in Montgomery tomorrow night?
I would be, but Auburn's got a football availability that afternoon. We get to go to practice and watch, so I would not be able to.
Yeah, the time of the thing
6
versus
6 o'clock first pitch makes it tough.
Yeah, with a 6 o'clock show we got going on, not able to make it. But I'm gonna try to check things out this weekend. Right, I mean Auburn back at home
Thursday through Saturday.
Arkansas still gonna be the number one team in America, in one would think. Still holding on to that spot with in a couple of the human polls. Might try to check things out this weekend.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all's time. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Appreciate it, John. 334-321-1390. And Spectre is next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, I'm a little confused. Were we a 4-seed or a 5-seed going into the SEC tournament?
Don't know.
Well, hold on a second. What do you mean? Was Auburn in the NCAA tournament?
Yes.
Correct.
Auburn, we don't know what the NCAA tournament thought of Auburn going into this weekend. They were either a low 4 or a high 5 going into the SEC tournament, I think, in the eyes of the committee.
And they come out of it, they come out of it as the next to the lowest 4.
I thought it was the lowest 4.
No, the NCAA said Auburn was the 15th seed. That's what I was talking about a minute ago.
Oh, I haven't heard this.
No, the NCAA listed 1 through 68, and Auburn is 15. That's why I said, well, then why are they in the regional with the number 1?
Auburn's 15, Bama's 16.
Bama's supposedly 16, but they got a much better draw. Much better draw.
I didn't know that.
Auburn.
That's insane.
The committees, we have 1 through 68 rankings.
Because they're the committee. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Because it's not strictly 1 through 16, 2 through 15.
No, use that and try to stick as close to it as possible, but they got completely out of whack.
What they try to do is balance it around. Well, they don't want one region being a lot stronger than the others.
Well, I know. Idiotic.
Spectre, this hasn't helped your question.
Terrible
I'm sure.
job by the NCAA.
Nothing is more clear now.
Well, let me ask this. I'm not a proponent of the SEC tournament anyway, and I'll give you two reasons why. If Auburn was one and done in the tournament, we'd still probably be seated at 4, correct?
That is up for debate. I would say it's likely. I don't know what 5 seed would have been in position to move up and take Auburn's spot. Maybe San Diego State, but it would have been it would have been tougher. To happen. So I mean, but yeah, I think it's likely Auburn stays pretty close to where they are in the field if they lose to South Carolina.
So running the table and winning the conference tournament and risking a possible injury just like the Florida center did.
Yeah.
So you might as well say Florida is one and done in the NCAA tournament.
I don't know. They still have they've still got plenty of talent, and they've still got good depth up front. I mean, they lose a very, very good player. It's definitely going to hurt them at some point.
And I'm sure Bruce Pearl would tell you that the confidence that Auburn has coming out of the tournament, having beaten the teams they beat, including Florida, it's probably worth the energy they expended winning those, playing those 3 games instead of having last week off for rest.
Yeah, well, just basically tuning ourselves up for the NCAA tournament is basically the only thing I see coming out of the SEC tournament. I mean, the prestige of winning the trophy, yes, that's good, but
I wouldn't dismiss that, Spectre. I mean, on a year where, I mean, because this, you think about the guys from last year's team and this year's team, like they didn't have a championship to their name. They didn't have a banner or a ring to point to. So to win this tournament for, just the 4th time in school history, I think, for Auburn, like to just, I mean, it's the timing is unfortunate because it's immediately overshadowed by the reveal of the bracket. But it's a big championship for this group, and it's something that, I mean they're at, even if they don't make it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, they're still a championship team because of what they were able to do in Nashville.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just disappointed that it didn't happen. It didn't move us anywhere on the needle.
It didn't appear to. No, you're right. It didn't appear to.
So anyway, all right, that's all I got. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Spectre. We need to get to our first break. Back with more of your calls. John, hold on. You'll be up first when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Be a part of The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 23 minutes after 5 o'clock, and right back to the phones we go. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I've been listening to your show. One of the biggest issues I have with the way this entire situation is handled with the NCAA tournament is I don't understand how your game location isn't correlated with your regional affiliation. I don't understand how you can be in the East and you're assigned to Spokane, Washington. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Do you guys have an explanation for that?
So the only thing that when they talk about the East region, they're talking about the regional final and semifinal. I guess that's the explanation I've always gotten is that
It used to be,
but
it wasn't always this way.
But now that you have 8 host sites around the country, and you're going to sort of mix and match which 1 seeds and 2 seeds and 3 seeds go there for the first weekend. When you look at the names of the regions, that's primarily based on where is the second weekend being, like where are the games being held the second weekend. The host cities for those sort of designate,
but the first weekend
correspond to the four regions.
When this was first done, John, the first weekend, they said it was to make less travel and the opportunity for the fans to be able to see their teams more in that first weekend. They couldn't have done worse there with Spokane than to have 3 teams west of the Mississippi, 3 teams from the state of Alabama, and then Charleston and Yale are in Spokane. That's crazy. Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. And Jonathan is next. Hey, Jonathan.
Good afternoon, fellas. How's it going?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you.
Excellent. So a couple things. First off, DeLand, Florida, from hour one, is actually on the coast of Florida in Broward County.
Oh.
It's somewhere there in Lauderdale, like, between there and Canaveral, it's somewhere in that direction.
I might have been getting it confused with Full Sail, which I thought, which is in the suburban Orlando area. Yeah. DeLand is a little bit. It's between. I had someone else reach out. It's like between Daytona and Orlando. If you're going to drive from Orlando to go to Daytona Beach, you might pass DeLand, Florida.
Excellent. So the other thing I was going to say was there was a tweet that was put out either Saturday morning or Sunday morning by a PR guy with the selection committee. He was in the room, and they were allowing him to do some periodic tweets, and I'm sure they were all vetted before they were sent out. But he sent a tweet out either Saturday morning, and it may have even been Friday night, regarding the fact that they had already seeded the top 6 line of the tournament at that point.
Yeah, 31 of the 31 of 32 quote.
He was very obvious that the committee had already done the top 6 lines. So that told me that the Iowa State game against Houston, where they people are all nationally are all in arms about what they did to Iowa State and what they did to Auburn and potentially UConn for that matter. But that just tells you that some games just don't matter when it comes down to it. Now, at the end of the day, we want that momentum winning the tournament like we did in 19. So there is some good to come out of it for us. We're just going to have to go out and play ball and do what those guys do and, you know,
just think,
put their big boy pants on.
We could come up with a new slogan for the SEC. SEC tournament, it just don't matter.
I just want to push back from this because I think Auburn winning an SEC championship, only the
that matters. It
in
does.
School history
but it
is a big deal.
I don't think it mattered in the tournament. In the selection committee's eyes, but it matters.
I think Auburn fans need to appreciate
absolutely
what Bruce Pearl has done.
Oh yeah,
4 SEC championships,
200 wins.
Yep.
Again, happy birthday, Bruce.
Yep. It is surprising though with the bracket, especially when you look at the NCAA's own seeding, 1 through 68 of these teams, and there are a lot of bizarre choices on that one, and some bizarre choices on the seeding line in general. Some of the 11 seeds are teams that weren't even in the field last week. NC State and Duquesne. You know, it's like how do you jump to the 11 line out of the draw entirely?
Don't ask.
Not even on the bubble. Oregon was a bubble team that won their conference tournament, and they're on the 11 line. Duquesne was, I mean, Duquesne was there were 40 teams ahead of Duquesne as an at-large. There were 40 teams ahead of NC State as an at-large, and yet there they are in the 11th. Like, there are some baffling ones.
Somebody's a really good lobbyist.
James Madison should be a 9, maybe an 8, with the way that with the way they've seeded some of these teams. They're sitting there on the 12 line at 31-3. You know,
Dan, you're trying to make sense of it.
Yeah.
It's like, forget
I don't know.
That.
I've watched too many of these things, I guess. Yeah. And I know, anyways.
All right.
And they're going to use this. They're going to use this to expand the tournament, which is the real shame. Is they're going to say, look at all these great teams. You know, Pitt didn't get in, or St. John's didn't
Indiana
get in.
Indiana
State to one is the biggest injustice, because at least I'd rather see mid majors. If it comes down to, if it's a total coin flip, Bill, I'd rather see the mid-major that got one or two quad one games get the shot over the team that went 7-10 in quad one games or something from the ACC. But that's not the way it's going to go.
No, you're right.
That's not the way it's going
to
go.
We'll get another call before we get to our bottom of the hour break. And Ty the Tiger, what's up, Ty?
What's going on, guys? All right, so here's my take on it. I know everybody's complaining. I do think we have the toughest 1-4 seeds, all 1-4 seeds of our region all won their conference tournament. There's not another region that has two that won their conference tournament in the 1-4 seed.
So I'll let you finish, Ty, but 5 and 6 also in the top 20.
5 and 6 are pretty darn good.
What do you mean?
5 and 6 are in Auburn's region. The 5 seed is San Diego State. The 6 seed is BYU. They're also in the top 20 overall, according to the NCAA.
Yeah, BYU is 17, absolutely. San Diego State 18, according to the NCAA.
Well, absolutely not. All I'm saying is no other region has a tougher 1-4. In my opinion, I think if you look at our region, though, the 5-12, and you look at everybody else's, like the South is brutal. The South has literally 12 teams that could – look that you're looking at that can make it to the Final Four, in my opinion. I mean, that's the gauntlet. It to me is the toughest in the South. But I think, you know, even, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, basically the committee ranked us 16th because we were the 4 seed and we were the last 4 seed that goes with the number one overall.
The committee released their rankings. Auburn is ranked 15th. Alabama is 16th.
It's just
figure that one out, Ty.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I really feel like, and then on the Spokane thing, let me tell you why we in Spokane. Okay, they saw Neville Arena North this past weekend, and they remember Neville Arena West in Birmingham.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do think last year may have played a factor into that.
They do not want Auburn, because if that happened, if they'd have put us in Greensville or Memphis, it'd have been Neville A, you know, or B West, or whatever you want to call it. But either way, we would have packed the house out again. So I think that's why they sent us all the way to Spokane. I mean, really? You know, but, you know, look, now that the tournament's set, you're going to have to beat UConn one day or another. You know, in these next 6 games, if you're going to win 6, that you're going to have to beat them. I would rather beat them in the 16 or the 8 then face him in the Final Four, in my opinion.
It would be the 16.
Well, I'm sure, you know what? I'm sure Bruce would rather play them in the 16 or the 4 than in the 8, because you get prep. You get the extra couple
16.
Of days. Yeah,
that's where they would play, would be in the first game of the Sweet 16.
In the 16. But I'm just saying, if you're, again, you know, everybody's like, oh, I can't believe we're in UConn. Well, you have to beat, if you're going to win that championship, you're going to have to beat a UConn.
Yeah, I don't
know.
You're going
to have to beat Arizona. I mean, you know, you look back at 19, and, I mean, again, everybody knows Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. I mean, we had to go through it. But, you know, you're going to have to go through it no matter what. But I think, guys, I think looking at the South to me is the toughest region in that bracket. You know, a lot of people were like, well, man, Kentucky's a 3 and we're a 4. We should have been the 3. No, I don't want that 3. Not in that bracket, not in that region. I'm out. I'd much rather take the 4 in our region than the 3 in their region. And that's just my opinion. I'll hang up and listen, guys. War damn Eagles.
All right, Ty, appreciate the call. Yeah, I think Dan's point is you're not going to find a tougher 1-6 anywhere than than what Auburn's got to be.
And there's a couple teams, you know, further down the draw that I like too. I agree with what he's saying. Maybe the most wide open, especially if you're not buying Houston all the way. The South, very open when you get into the later rounds.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Tiger Takes. Cooper McMurray joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And once again, we're pleased to be joined by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray. Coop, rough weekend up in Nashville. It was a big weekend basketball-wise, but rough weekend up against the Doors to open conference play.
Yeah, it was. Shout out to Coach Pearl and the basketball team, though, for winning the SEC. That's huge. We're all super excited for them and their run in the tournament. But yeah, it was a rough weekend for us on the diamond. But we're looking to take those opportunities and learn from them and be better this week.
Yeah, You had some good numbers offensively. It was just one of those weekends. I mean, things can happen. You play, that's the reason you play 56 games in the regular season. You've got a 30-game conference schedule. You've got to just try to put things behind you and get ready to get right back at it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think Vanderbilt's on a 12 or 13 game win streak. They're hot and they played really well this weekend, and we didn't. So, just kind of getting back home and getting some rest and reset and attack this week.
I hate to say this, but, it was a little of everything. Sometimes one thing will go south. It was just one where it was a weekend where it seemed like there would be mistakes. You sometimes couldn't cash in offensively, but then a pitcher makes a bad pitch, can't quite get out of an inning, and then some errors as well. So it's one of those weekends where you really want to just completely flush it, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. We didn't play the cleanest of games on Friday or Saturday, definitely, and I think Sunday was the best day we played. I think we played well enough to win a baseball game, but sometimes things don't go your way, and I think that's what happened for us. And it's important to learn from those mistakes and reset, kind of come back and get that confidence back and be able to because we got the number one team in the country coming into Plainsman Park this week, so it's a short flush and get ready for this weekend.
That slate that you guys play these first four or five weeks of conference play against some of the best teams in all of college baseball, is there a mindset you have to take when you're facing a gauntlet like that, remembering any one of these teams are good enough to win the national championship, and if you can compete with them, that would seemingly, let alone win, if you can compete with them, that tells you your team is ready for prime time.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bunch of big opportunities early for us, I think that's why you come to the SEC to play baseball, is to play in these meaningful games and to play against the best in the country. So I think, telling the guys that it's going to be fun these next four, or really these next 8 weeks or 9 weeks, but these next couple weeks especially, getting to play, three top five teams in the country, I think it's a huge opportunity. And I'm just going to tell the guys to go out and have fun, and it's the same game always, and everyone's here for a reason, and we can all play ball. So just go out there and have fun and let your game do the talking.
Yeah, and again, it's a team sport, but congratulations on the week. Saw that Auburn Athletics naming you the player of the week for Auburn this past week, hitting .375 with three homers and seven RBIs. And we talked about it a little last week. This team has pop up and down the lineup, but you look like, I mean, some of the balls that were going for doubles last year are carrying a little bit better. Just talk about your the increased power that we've seen out of you this thus far this year.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much. But, you know, I think it was just getting back and having a season in the SEC under my belt and, you know, realizing that I do belong here and, you know, that inner confidence between the years. And also, you know, Coach Gross has been a huge blessing for me in my career personally. And, you know, I can't thank him enough. But, yeah, so I think it's just getting in the cages with him. And, you know, and a lot of baseball players learn from each other. So, you know, I've had plenty of conversations with Ike and Derek Sabian and Bobby and all the guys, really. And so it's just putting those conversations into practice. And, you know, thankfully right now they're paying off.
One of the things I thought a bright spot for the weekend, Javon, I mean, he'd really struggled early on and looked like he might be pressing a little bit, but I thought he really swung the bat much better up in Nashville.
Yeah, he definitely did. I think, you know, he hit whatever it was, 398 last year, and I don't care where you hit 398. You hit 398, that's an elite season anywhere. So, you know, we all knew and we all believed in him the whole time, and I was happy for him to get that confidence back. And, you know, going into these next nine SEC weekends, he's going to be a huge factor for us, you know, in the field and in the lineup. So it's awesome to see him get going, and, you know, I'm excited for him and everything that's going on with our lineup right now, and even our pitching staff. You know, I think we had a rough couple of days, but I mean, the belief in our program is with them, and they know that, so they're going to get back on the mound and, you know, attack every pitch. But yeah, it was great to see Javon get that confidence going.
Email we got from George points out that there were eight different Auburn players, five position players and three pitchers that made their SEC debuts in the Vanderbilt series this weekend. You made your SEC debut last year, although you'd played major conference baseball in the past. What's that first weekend like, especially on the road against a team like Vanderbilt?
Yeah, you know, it's a butterfly moment for sure, but and it's awesome to get those guys out there. You know, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for this team if we play our best baseball, and I think getting that first weekend under everyone's belt is going to be huge for us. And you know, it doesn't get any easier in the SEC, so it's awesome to have that experience. And you know, we get to play at home this week, but then we go to College Station next week to face a top five team. So yeah, we're going to be on the road and have to play in some tough environments. So it was huge to get that one out of the way.
Yeah, and of course you were here last year. Auburn lost it. Yeah, Auburn got swept in the opening series last year and went on to win 17 conference games. So as I was saying a little earlier, I mean, you play 30. You've got 10 conference series. So, you know, there's plenty of time. You just want to go ahead and get things on track, hopefully with big crowds behind you Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah, you know, baseball's a weird game. It's a long season. And so I think that's the message this week. You know, it's, yeah, we didn't play the way we wanted to, and lessons were learned. But, you know, now we got to get right back into it and, you know, fight this Arkansas team coming in. And, yeah, I mean, our fans have been awesome all year. So I can't wait to see what they're going to be like on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, it's an exciting week in Auburn. So, and everyone on the team's looking forward to it.
And, of course, before the weekend series, or the end of the week series, I guess, if you will, against Arkansas, got a trip over to Montgomery and Riverwalk Stadium, which is really such a cool venue to take on South Alabama tomorrow night.
Yeah, they got it's a good program they got over there, and that Montgomery field's cool. They got the train tracks and
left
field, and so yeah, it's gonna be a good trip to get up there and play at a neutral site and see all the Auburn fans in Montgomery. And get after South Alabama.
Yeah, sort of a little preview for being able to see fans walking up there behind the fence out there toward the river. It's really cool. Something that we'll have a similar type thing at the Monster coming up in the future. Hey, did we ever decide? Are you old Coop or big Coop?
Big Coop.
Okay.
You know, I still
Weiss is older than me. So.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah, I still like you as Coop and him as New Coop, but New Coop's stealing some bases, isn't he?
Oh yeah, he's you know, his baseball IQ is off the charts. I mean, I can't knock him for being not fast because I'm not fast either. But he's not the fastest. But it's insane to see how him run the bases. you know, set the table for the rest of the guys in the lineup. His experience and his knowledge has really rubbed off on a lot of the guys this year. So it's been awesome to have him at the top of the lineup.
Yeah, no kidding. He stole a couple of more over the weekend up there in Nashville. It's like, again, it's knowing and his ability to read the pitchers and get the jumps has just been phenomenal. But
it's something cool to watch for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, hopefully, I mean, good time to bounce back. You should have. I'm predicting you'll have more of a home feel tomorrow over in Montgomery, and then be great to be back at home starting Thursday against the Hogs.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always good to be home. So, we're all excited and can't wait to see the environment.
All right, Coop, really, really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Once again, remind folks how they can follow you on social media.
My Instagram is cmcmurray_, and my Twitter is coopmc9.
All right, have a great week. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys very much.
Cooper McMurray with Tiger Takes, proudly presented each Monday at 5:30 by the Alsobrook Law Group, on the web at alsolaw.com. We'll get to our final break. We'll reopen the phone lines. Still time for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
Uncle T-Bone here.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on the Monday drive. As Brian said, it's gone pretty quickly, but primarily because of the, you know, still trying to figure out exactly what happened to come up with the bracket that we now have, that everybody will have fun with. I mean, that's the thing. Now's the fun. Everybody going ahead and getting their brackets filled out and going to, you know, see who can come the closest, because I doubt that somebody's going to get it perfect. They haven't yet. Maybe
you never know. This could be the year.
It could be.
This could be the year.
You're saying there could be a chance.
There's a chance out there. Could
be
you.
Until you lose, you've still got a chance. I usually get that taken care of
tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we got the first four games in the men's bracket. Well, Wagner and Howard what we have on Tuesday. We've got Wagner and Howard.
So it's a one-on-one, it sounds like.
We've got Colorado State and Virginia. Yeah, shout out to Robbie Benson.
Yeah.
It's a one-on-one. Colorado State and Virginia is the other game on Tuesday. Wednesday, we've got Grambling and Montana State, and then Colorado and Boise State. And then Thursday morning, the madness begins. State versus State. Michigan State versus Mississippi State is your first game of the tournament's round of 64 on Thursday morning, and from that point, it's basketball all day and a whole lot more.
Oh yes, that's right. Because both of our locally originated shows, On the Line and The Drive, going to be at the Plaza Bar and Lounge Thursday. So we'll be out there from 2 to 6, and we now know that Dan will be able to be there today. Because the Troy women have a first-round bye.
Yeah, Troy, one of 16 teams receiving a bye in the 48-team WNIT. So the Trojans will be in action sometime this weekend or early next week against the winner of a game between Stetson and Florida International. I guess there's a chance we could be traveling down to Florida for that one, or we could be hosting that one at Trojan Arena. But yeah, I'm going to be off for the first couple of days of the NCAA tournament, including Thursday at the Plaza. Really looking forward to that one on Opelika Road. We will have a couple of NCAA games going on while we're there.
That is exactly right. We'll be able to keep you up with everything that's going on. We'd love for you to stop by, take advantage of their beer bucket specials, dollar wings, and much more. We'll be there in the shack on the party patio from the Plaza Bar, Midtown, Thursday.
Any patio that we're on, Brian Matthews, becomes the party patio. Let me just say that first of all.
And I can see that.
And I'm gonna get Bill to try the War Burger. Who, you know, because it is out. It is sensational.
Dan makes it sound like I would.
No. I want.
I don't want to.
It's
or one. Something.
It's in the. No. It's in the. You know what?
I just haven't tried.
It's in the mix. It's in the battle. You know, if there was a bracket for Auburn's best cheeseburger, it would be a high seed. It would be a high seed. Not saying it's a one. I don't know. You know, a lot of good, but it would be a competitor. to be a contender for this one. So Oregon, South Carolina will be going on. That'll tip before we're before we're on the air, so we'll be able to watch that. Nevada, Dayton will also be going on Thursday while we're hanging out at the Plaza.
All right, before we're out of time, we've got 2 or 3 minutes left. Brian, go ahead. As we've mentioned, it is a busy time, and you guys are going to be really getting after it all week. There are plenty of things for everyone there at AuburnSports.com to be trying to handle.
This may be the busiest week of the year for, especially for team coverage, but there's going to be recruits coming in this week too for practice and probably this weekend, I'm sure, Saturday, probably scrimmage. But we speak to Bruce Pearl, Coach Johnny, and you freeze tomorrow.
All tomorrow. Got offensive coaches on Wednesday. Got a viewing window tomorrow.
Yep. Friday is pro day. We've got women's basketball on Thursday. Baseball starts Thursday.
Right.
Friday, I mentioned pro day. Then you got, of course, Auburn playing Yale. And then you've got baseball.
Auburn, Arkansas. Yeah.
So it's going to be a crazy week.
Have you figured who's got what this week?
Stoltz and Henry are off to Spokane.
Wow. So okay.
I'll be handling
good luck to Henry.
Yes.
Oh. Well, it's a crazy week, but looking forward to all the info that you guys are going to have there at AuburnSports.com.
Yeah, we will continue to roll it out, and you can check us out at AuburnSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter/X and Threads at BMATAU.
All right, Brian, get a little rest. It's going to be a busy week.
Yes.
A fun week.
I just remember doing shows like these when Auburn wasn't in the tournament.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you're so excited for the bracket. You're talking about all the different possibilities and stuff. You have no emotional attachment to any of these teams. It's very different when your team goes in. I know people want Auburn as a 3 or, two. It's very different when your team goes in as a genuine contender. And Auburn, right now, outside of
Is there a hotter team now in college basketball?
Outside of your top 2 or 3 contenders, I think Auburn's got the best odds to make the Final Four, best odds to win the whole thing, and just about anybody. So, they're not sneaking up on anyone. Outside of UConn, Houston, and I think a lot of people, if Auburn and UConn are both in the Sweet 16, a lot of people will be saying, winner of that game's your new favorite to win the whole thing.
It is a great time of year, and we're looking forward to the, hopefully wild and crazy runs. All right, we will be back tomorrow. We're out of time here on the Monday Drive. We'll check in with Andy a little later this week because he's flying to Spokane tomorrow. So we'll be wide open for a while. I'm going to check out a little of the start of practice, then join in, and we'll have audio and your calls and more. But that's going to do it for today. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.